Welcome to worship with Dawson Memorial Baptist Church. At Dawson, we seek to be found faithful as God's people as we become and help others become faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now join us as we worship God through the teaching of His Word in today's message.
Church, as we continue to worship this morning, I'm going to encourage you to turn in your copy of God's Word to the 23rd Psalm this morning. We've been so beautifully led in worship by our chapel choir. If you're new to Dawson, these students are 9th through 12th graders, and they have just gotten back from chapel choir tour, mission tour, and that was in Oklahoma City this last week. And John and Brent and Brent and Dan and others of our sponsors and leaders just did a wonderful job leading them, and you're going to hear more about what they did this evening at 6 o'clock for our chapel choir mission tour home concert. Danielle and I had the privilege of getting over to Oklahoma City last week for a few days and to see these students confidently and beautifully share the hope of the gospel through song, through their words and their actions as they partnered with local churches and local ministries in Oklahoma City. These students, you would have been proud of them. I wish we could just have all of our church over there to be encouraged by the way that they serve the Lord in apartment complexes, came alongside of those who were recovering from addictions. Thousands of families were fed through the ministry of these students here, and the beauty and the hope of the gospel was proclaimed in churches, in gyms, in apartment complexes, and their sort of gathering areas there. And so tonight at 6, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for we as a church to get a little taste of what God did through and in our students. If you are following along in our summer series, we're in selected Psalms looking at the beauty and joy of knowing God and His character and His care that is given to us and revealed so beautifully to us in the Psalms. We come now to the Mount Everest of the Psalms. We come to one of the most famous and beloved chapters in all of the Bible. We could say this is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, or we could say John 3:16 is the Psalm 23 of the New Testament. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great British Baptist pastor from a century ago, called this the pearl of the Psalms. I have a feeling that many of you know this very psalm by heart. I have a feeling that this psalm has intersected your life in moments of darkness and where tears streamed freely. And God used His word through the 23rd Psalm to be a balm to your soul. So once again, hear the words of our Lord in this beautiful chapter, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, this is the word of the Lord, a word that is comforting to us and a word that is beautiful to us, a word that reminds us of God's provision for His sheep. Verses 1 through 3 is a beautiful reminder to us of the intimate and personal nature of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. This is not the first image. This is not the first metaphor that has been used in the 22 Psalms that have come before the 23rd Psalm. We read in Psalm 3 that God is our shield. In Psalm 9, we read that God is our deliverer. In Psalm 18, we read that God is our rock. Now compare that to the image of the Lord as our shepherd. The Lord is a shield, the Lord is a deliverer, the Lord is a rock. Those images, beautiful images, but they're distant images, removed images. David is writing out of experience. He is writing out of what he knows the most. He knows what it is to look up into the stars as he's with the fold of the sheep that he's been tending to and caring for. He knows that a shepherd cannot shepherd from afar. He knows to be an effective shepherd is to be with the sheep, a guide to the sheep, a physician to the sheep, a protector of the sheep. That's why this is such an intimate and personal psalm. Count the personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though you get the point here. Count them up. You get 17. Six short verses, 17 personal pronouns. Some of you know the name of Harry Emerson Fosdick. He was the leading mainline pastor of a century ago. Very famous in his heyday, so famous that Rockefeller built a church for Fosdick's own pulpit. And so at Riverside Church, Fosdick told the story one day of going to Israel and being with a shepherd and being astounded by the size of the flock that the shepherd was tending to. And he wondered in this great expanse of pasture land how this one shepherd could keep up with all of his sheep. And he asked the shepherd, do you have sort of a tagging system so you know if you've lost one of your sheep? And the shepherd responded, no. Well, of course, you have a branding system, right, to be able to know if you've lost one of your sheep. And he said, no, I don't have a branding system. So Fosdick's question is a natural question. Well, how do you know if you've lost one of your sheep? And he answered, I know them all by name. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, isn't it astounding for you to be able to think for just a moment that the great I Am of Exodus 3, who parted the Red Sea to bring the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity, the God who is timeless and is not bound by space, the God who is unlimited in his power, his scope, and his knowledge, is a God that you can know personally, a God who knows you by name. This God loves you so much that he has sacrificed his own son to bring you into the fold. You know the way that you can say the Lord is my shepherd? It's to trust in the sacrifice of the great shepherd. We can't read the 23rd Psalm without hearing the very echoes of Jesus as he is talking in John chapter 10 of how he is the very fulfillment of this psalm. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. Do you know how you can say the Lord is my shepherd? It's that you have trusted by faith in the complete and finished work of the good shepherd Jesus. Do you know the love that the good shepherd has for you? Can you say this morning by faith that the Lord is my shepherd? Have you trusted him with your heart? Have you turned to him from your sins and trusted in his finished work? Can you say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd? I'm not asking, is the Lord your father's shepherd or your sister's shepherd, your brother, your pastor, your Sunday school shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? It's a personal psalm that demands a personal response. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it's a curious phrase, I shall not want. There are a lot of ways that we desire things in life. I mean, is this psalm promising us if we're in the fold, if we're in the flock, if we've been delivered of our sins, that God's just a great genie in the bottle and whatever we want, is it our beck and call to give it to us? So if you want a promotion, just ask and you will receive. If you want a skinnier waistline, just ask and you will receive. If you want a disease-free, sickness-free life, is it because you have not, because you ask not? Is that what this psalm is promising to us? It's a really good, really good, really good question. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We read that and we think of want and desire as synonyms. We hear wants and we think, I shall not desire. That's not the essence of this passage here. The original Hebrew language, one way that you can translate this is, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Another way to translate it is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not have needs. needs and wants are different. We all know this, right? The good shepherd provides for his fold all that we need. That's important. That's an important distinction. What do sheep need? I mean, just think about the direction of this very psalm here. What do sheep need? Well, sheep need nourishment, they need rest, and they need guidance. What does our good shepherd provide for his fold? Well, nourishment, rest, and guidance. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you know that God feeds our soul spiritually? Why would a shepherd lead in that dry, dusty, arid setting? Thousands of years ago, why would a shepherd lead the fold, lead the flock to green pastures so that they could graze, they can feast and be fed? There's a lot in this world that demands our attention. There's a lot in this world that says, if you taste of me and eat of me, you will be satisfied. But we know well enough to know that some of those that are calling out to us are but just the siren song of sin that seek to entice us, and we eat and we're not satiated. We eat and we're not satisfied. We know that. We just like Eve and just like Adam know what it is to eat of the tree and ultimately fall to desire. None of us are immune to this. And so we have to be reminded that the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us to green pastures, the green pastures of his word, the green pastures of Christian community, the green pastures of worship that feed our soul. You know that Jesus is the bread of life? And do you know that when you trust in him and feast on his word, so we are filled with something that is unlike anything else that this world can offer to us? You want to know joy? You want to know contentment? You want to know peace? You want to know his guidance? So it is found as the Spirit of God leads us through the word of God. So he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. God not only feeds us spiritually, but he restores us personally. Again, go back thousands of years, ancient Near Eastern context here. David is leading his fold, his flock. He's leading them in a very dry, arid culture. I mean, there are a lot of places that are oasis-less. They're waterless. And so to find water is to find not only nourishment, but it is to find rest. It is to find a place to be cleansed for the shepherd. So it's not surprising to us that they would long for the oasis of the still waters. And so what this psalm is telling us here is if you want to know nourishment, yes, go to the green pastures. If you want to know rest and refreshment and restoration, he will lead us. Well, he will lead us to the still waters, because he desires to restore our soul. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to go through dry and arid seasons of your own life. There are going to be times in your life where you are far from the voice of the Good Shepherd. There are going to be times in your life where there's a dryness to your soul, there's a dryness to your heart. And so what this psalm tells us is that when we turn and we trust the voice of the shepherd, he will always lead us to the place that he will renew us and restore us into that right relationship with him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know the restoration that the shepherd desires to give to each of us here? Do you know that he feeds us spiritually? Do you know that he restores us personally? And do you know that he guides us faithfully? Listen again to the psalm. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, you can get off the beaten path really easy as a follower of Christ. I think everybody here in the sanctuary have had a time in your life where you've lived out the very words of that famous hymn. We are prone to wander. We are prone to leave the God that we love. But what this passage tells us is that if we follow the voice of the shepherd, he will not lead us to the detour. He will not lead us to a dead end. He will lead us to the place of restoration. He will feed us. And his name is it's at stake. He puts his name to it. His name is his reputation. His name is he's good for this. He's not going to lead you astray. So if you're looking for contentment, true contentment, he will lead us to it. You're looking for true joy, true peace, and true guidance. So he will lead us to it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe you've heard this story before. As a third grade young lady comes to a Bible drill in her local church. The verse of Psalm 23, verse 1, she stands forward and she says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." She got the verse wrong. But in getting the verse wrong, she really gets the essence of the verse right. Can you say that? "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." Does he have your heart? Does he have your allegiance? Do you know the good shepherd who has sent his son to die for you, to bring you as a wayward sheep into the fold of God? Do you know the love that he has for you? Do you know his provision? Well, if you know his provision through Christ, then you know his presence with you. I can't help but to hear the 23rd Psalm in the old King James. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of thy own enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." It's the very fulcrum of this psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Valleys are scary places. Thousands of years ago, when David as a shepherd wrote about the valley, he knew the valley to be a place where he as a shepherd would be vulnerable. He knew to write of the valley as the valley is a place where there's darkness, there are bandits that lurk, there are animals that prey upon the sheep as the shepherd leads them through this narrow valley to get them where? To the next part of the destination. They're very vulnerable because they're high places as the shepherd would lead the fold through the valley. And there are predators and enemies that come down upon. So they're real dangers. There's real reason for David to fear as a shepherd as he walks through the valley. But he doesn't say, "Yea, when I walk through the valley, I'm scared to death." Or, "Yea, when I walk through the valley, I'm uncertain." Or, "Yea, when I walk through the valley, I'm timid and fearful at every side." It's, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There's something about this psalm that has a gentleness to it. This is probably how I first heard the psalm. It's probably how you first heard the psalm. I would sort of see this mild-mannered shepherd and envision kind of a mixture of a Mr. Rogers and a Bob Ross with a sort of a walking stick trying to make his way through the terrain so he doesn't fall. And I missed that the rod and the staff, these are weapons. It's not that the shepherd is trying to make sure that he doesn't stumble. It is not that the shepherd needs to be held up. The shepherd uses the rod and the staff. This is a club. This is a weapon. And in the gentleness of the 23rd Psalm, I sort of missed the grit of the 23rd Psalm. I sort of had a sentimental understanding of the 23rd Psalm, and I sort of missed the strength and the steel of the shepherd at the center of the psalm. So centuries ago, the Old Testament scholar by the name of J.L. Porter is traveling through this very region that David would have written these very words in. It's the late 1800s, and he comes across a shepherd and his flock. And he talks about, well, yes, of course, there's no doubt that there are thousands of years that separate David's writing from what J.L. Porter is observing, but the conditions remain very similar. And what was needed, while the weapons were different, what was needed was the same, the steel and the strength of a shepherd. And listen to the porter's observation of the shepherds that he encountered. The shepherds themselves had none of that peaceful and placid aspect which is generally associated with pastoral life and habits. They looked like warriors marching to the battlefield, a long gun slung from the shoulder, a dagger and heavy pistols in the belt, a light battle axe or iron-headed club in the hand. They were armed. And these shepherds, with their fierce, flashing eyes and scowling countenances showed but too plainly that they were prepared to use their weapons at any moment. And I'm glad that the Good Shepherd is armed. I'm glad that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ's muscles are flexed, because you're going to walk through the valley. Maybe you are walking through the valley, or you've been through the valley. It is yea, though I walk. It is not yea, if I walk. Jesus himself tells us that we will too walk through the valley. Jesus himself says in John 16, 33, in this world you will have tribulation. You will know darkness. You will know valleys. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And I am grateful that we have a shepherd when the enemy preys upon us, that we have a shepherd whose grip is strong. I'm grateful that as the enemy tries to pry us away from the hands of our good shepherd, he holds us fast. This is good news, because you've walked through the valley. Maybe you are in the valley, or you've been in the valley. Just this last week, on Wednesday night, Danielle and I were there, and we picked up on Tuesday with the chapel choir, and God was just doing some amazing things in the life of these students. And one of the highlights I have as a pastor is their recaps at night. They're all together in this grand room, and they're describing, the students are, what God taught them in that very day. They had these God moments, and one of our ninth grade young ladies was describing a young mother that she was having a conversation with at a block party that we had that Wednesday evening. And she talked about how this young mother was comforted by what? This very word, the word of the 23rd Psalm. And this ninth grade young lady was hearing this mother say, I want to remind you of a truth that you need to hold on to. She was sort of preaching to this ninth grader, and it stirred her soul that you walk, this mother said, that you walk through the valley. That the valley is not a final destination. We don't build houses in the valley of the shadow of death. The valley is not where we pitch our tent. The valley is not the place that we vacation in. The valley is the place that we don't live in. The valley is the place that we walk through, because our shepherd is bringing us through the valley. So I want you to hear today that disease is not your final destination. I want you to hear that the valley of sickness is not, it is not, my friend, your final destination. I want you to hear that the valley of betrayal is not where you're going to live for an eternity. I want you to hear that the valley of sadness and the valley of depression is what God brings us through to get us where? Where it's where this passage, it's where this passage ends. It's his final promise to us in this short psalm. It's a promise of a homecoming. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I, you, child of God, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I proposed to Danielle when I was 19 years old. I don't ever tell this story now when I have an 18-year-old, so he's not in this sanctuary right now. I was 20 when we got married. Danielle was 21. You know what that means? We've lived in a lot of places. You know what that means? We packed up a U-Haul and moved to Birmingham to go to Beeson Divinity School, and packed up a U-Haul after Beeson to go to New Orleans for more school, and packed up a U-Haul to go to our first church in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and you get the point. We have had times where we've had to put our mailing address. And I have to think, because we've had New Orleans mailing addresses and Birmingham mailing addresses and Mississippi mailing addresses. And there are times where you'll see an address and then you'll see permanent address. That of all the places that you've lived, what's the sort of home permanent address? If you're going from place to place, and some of you know what that's like. Some of you know what it's like to long for home because you know what it's like to live in your car and to make your living on the road, from hotel to hotel, airport to airport. And you know what it's like to long to come home. And you realize that home isn't, oh, it's not an address. It's not a house. It's a people. It's a heart. It's love. No matter how much money you pour into a house, it won't be a perfect house. But what you long to come home to is not the brick and the mortar. What you long to come home to are the people that have your heart. It's your friends, it's your family. And there's an ache inside of all of us. There's this deep longing inside of all of us to be able to say, this is my permanent address. This is home. But it eludes us, this side of heaven. But there is an Edenic echo that reverberates in all of our hearts. This homecoming mechanism that draws us back to the Garden of Eden, draws us back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, this longing for communion with Him. And one day, we will be there. One day, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The disciples are following Jesus 2,000 years ago, and they realize that where he's headed to is most likely his death, his crucifixion. And they, my friends, were fearful. And so Jesus looks at them with all the anxiety and the worry in their hearts and in their eyes. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is our permanent address. This is our home, home where sickness is forever silenced, where every pain is transformed into praise, where as Tolkien says in Return of the King, every sad thing on earth will become untrue. This is what's ahead for all of us who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Years ago, I heard the story of a famous actor. Some of you in this room know Richard Burton, so I don't have to explain too much about him to you. You remember the movie The Robe. You remember maybe Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I mean, he's a formidable Shakespearean-trained actor. Gets started in Hamlet and married to Elizabeth Taylor. Many of you know who Richard Burton is. Not just a movie star, but truly a gifted actor. He was from Wales, where our students were last summer on Chapel Choir Mission Tour. Sort of as a homecoming, full circle moment, they hold a Richard Burton Day back in his small Welsh childhood city that he grew up in. The only place that was big enough in that small Welsh town was the childhood parish that he grew up in, the little church that he grew up in. They held it in the auditorium, and you can imagine this. You've got teachers that taught Burton. You've got friends, family members, some dignitaries. Richard Burton Day, and they stand up and give all kinds of speeches. He's the last person that has the last word, and in the last word, he says, I know many of you have seen me on movies. I know many of you have been to some of the Shakespearean plays, and so I'm just going to give sort of a greatest hits request, and sort of like as an actor who gives a jukebox, you can just pick any of the soliloquies, any of the famous scenes that I've been a part of, and I, with the best of my ability, will be able to give those to you in this very moment. And so the crowd of admirers sit and begin to think what they're going to ask him to recite before them. And one man stands up, the childhood pastor of Richard Burton, stands up from his wheelchair and he asks, I have a request. And instead of any of the movies that he had been in, any of the Shakespearean plays that he had been in, he said, would you recite for us what I taught you as a child growing up in this very church? Would you recite for us the 23rd Psalm? It was a strange request. It was an odd request for Burton to hear. But he could not turn down the request of his childhood pastor. So he says, I'll do it, but this is the catch. After I finish, Pastor, would you share the 23rd Psalm with us? So you can imagine Burton stands before this crowd of admirers and with perfect intonation, with perfect pitch, the tonal quality of his voice is perfect. The Lord is my shepherd. Off he goes. He comes to the end. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there are rapturous applause that meet him in that small parish church. And the pastor, feeble and frail, he stands forth, coughs to clear his throat, and kind of stumbles through the 23rd Psalm that he had preached hundreds of times in his ministry. But when he finished, silence. But there wasn't a dry eye in the room. So Burton stands and says, today you have heard me quote the 23rd Psalm. And I appeal to your ears, and I appeal to your mind. But my pastor, he has touched your hearts. This was the difference. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. I know you know the psalm. Do you know, trust, and are you following the shepherd?
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about our family of faith or to learn how to become a follower of Jesus, please visit dawsonchurch.org. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.